Welcome to room 4216. I'm so glad you've come.
Hello, Cecilia.
Hey, Pastor Dave.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How about
Good.
You?
I'm doing well. Although, you know, I'm thinking that a special get-together would be fun with us.
Oh, and, yeah.
And don't you have some brownie mix that you can make some brownies to bring to our special gathering?
You mean the double fudge, the triple chocolate, whatever they are, brownie mix?
Mm-hmm.
How you found that I had that? I don't know, but are you spying in my pantry?
Oh, I just know that you like chocolate.
I do have that, yeah. It would be a bit of a sacrifice, but sure, why not?
Well, mentioning sacrifices, how about we go back into the study of Leviticus in room 4216 and see what God's word says about sacrifice as well as the priests who make those sacrifices.
You know, there's a section in Leviticus that's really troubling.
What's that?
It's in chapter 21, verses 16 and following.
Do you have it?
I do.
Go ahead and read it then. Then we'll talk about it.
The Lord said to Moses, "Say to Aaron, for the generations to come, none of your descendants who has a defect may come near to offer the food of his God. No man who has any defect may come near. No man who is blind or lame, disfigured or deformed, no man with a crippled foot or hand, or who is hunchbacked or dwarfed, or who has any eye defect, who has festering or running sores or damaged testicles. No descendant of Aaron the priest who has any defect is to come near to present the offerings made to the Lord by fire. He has a defect. He must not come near to offer the food of his God. He may eat the most holy food of his God, as well as the holy food. Yet because of his defect, he must not go near the curtain or approach the altar, and so desecrate my sanctuary. I am the Lord who makes them holy."
Yeah, I can see why this would be a troubling verse and why many would have trouble with it. And in fact, in lesson one, I even referred to how one professor used it in standing against my becoming a pastor. Did you count how many times it says he who has a defect?
It was at least five times that I counted.
I think you're right. I think it was five times. No defect. Well, first and foremost, the priest is the one who offers the sacrifice. That points to Jesus, who offered the sacrifice for our sins. The priest had to be perfect, and the sacrifice had to be perfect. That's why Jesus was the high priest, and he was the sacrifice. It points to him who had no sin, no defect whatsoever. That's the only way we can get before God. He's holy. So that would be one comment to make, and I'm going to swing back to that, by the way, but let's look specifically. I noticed there were a couple specific ones mentioned in there.
Several. No man who is blind or lame.
Okay, blind or lame. Now, think about this. Going into the holy place, that's the first room where you offer the sacrifices.
Yeah, where all the sacrifices are offered.
And then the Holy of Holies is the further back room with the Ark of the Covenant. It was only entered once a year.
Right.
So this, I think, is referring mostly to the holy place. There was a table. There were candles that were lit. And you had to go to the altar and offer the sacrifice there. Now, As we were working through this, Cecilia, I think you heard the big bang and boom as I walked out of my study here, and I had to go somewhere into, through the kitchen. And
yes, and I even said, "Are you okay?"
Yeah. I've walked through my kitchen dozens of times, and I bumped a cabinet that's real small, and everything on it fell over, and I had to stop and pick it up. I've walked it a dozen times, and being blind, I didn't see it, and bang, I knocked it over. I think this is the practical thing. Most of the time, people who are blind will do fine. But there are times because of our blindness, we have accidents. Also, on the second point about lame, it said, if you're lame, how are you going to walk in there? I'm assuming lame means very, very critically, not just with a limp, but lame would be not walking at all. How could you get into the holy place? They didn't have wheelchairs back then. How about the next set of twos?
Disfigured or deformed?
That one I'm not sure about, other than the looks. Let's go to the next two.
No man with a crippled foot or hand.
Again, that would be difficult. If you have a crippled foot, it's going to be hard to walk. And a crippled hand, you wouldn't be able to carry things easily. I'm not saying you can't, but easily. And then the last,
several here. Or who is hunchbacked or dwarfed?
Hunchback does doubled over. Again, it would be difficult to carry things. Dwarf, I don't know. Although I've met people who are a dwarf and their body is smaller. They're therefore not as strong as someone who is normally 5'5 or 6 foot. I mean, literally, I remember meeting a dwarf person who is probably 3'5". As an adult.
Okay.
And they don't have the body strength. It's the practicality, I think, that partly here. The next ones?
Or who has any eye defect, or who has festering or running sores, or damaged testicles. Tell me.
Yeah.
How damaged testicles can...
damaged testicles would mean that they probably can't do offspring. And thereby the priest would not be able to have children. It is pointing to the priest who would offer the sacrifice so that there might be hundreds of children of God. Now, you had some challenges back on some of these things?
Yeah. I've heard stories about you. You've been to many, many different churches.
Right.
And you had to get to know each one of those churches. And you did. And you are totally blind.
Mm-hmm.
And yet you say, oh, a blind person couldn't.
Yeah, I have done it. I think that's where we have to go more to the theoretical and away from the practical. I think there's a practical part, but it really comes down more to the principle of the thing, more than the don't tell me I can't. But I think that's really what it's all about, isn't it? You don't like to be told you can't.
I don't.
None of us do we?
It's not just that. I don't like to feel like I'm unworthy to be close to God.
But Cecilia, isn't that the point? We all are unworthy. And spiritually, we're blind, we're lame, we're deformed, we're hunchback, we're spiritually even dead. And God is making a point here, not just from the practical, but from the spiritual, that we cannot approach him because of who we are as we are.
Then none of the priests should have been able to approach the curtain or the altar. Are we being made the examples of here?
No. Good question. No. God obviously makes provisions, and not everyone was deformed, but he was trying to point out that there are deformities, imperfections, and those with that should not. And when it comes to things spiritually, we cannot come to him. Only Jesus can come to him. He's the only one who's perfect. He's the only one without any defect whatsoever. I think it really enters into the whole sacrificial system thing, that it had to be Jesus and only Jesus, and God was making a point there in the Old Testament. Now, it does relate two things. One, you feel left out.
Yes.
And quite frankly, we are left out at times. There's no denying that. But that's why in Ephesians chapter 2, God says, we who were far off have been made close. The dividing wall is destroyed. We are brought close to him. And the other key point to this is, even though they could not sacrifice, what did it say? They may eat of the holy food.
They get the handout then. They get
No, that's not a handout. No, that's not a handout. That was the holy food. That meant they weren't excluded. They were included as a Levite. It's just that they could not do that duty. By the way, there were other times priests could not do that duty when they were unholy for various reasons, a common cold, if they had some skin disease.
If a priest married a widow.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Just because they're a Levite didn't mean that they could do it. There were limitations. Always. But they could eat of the food. They were part of the people. They were in God's family. And that's a very important thing to note, that even though there are times we feel left out, even though there are times that we cannot serve, even as there were priests who cannot serve, they could eat of God's food. And oh boy, we can eat. And it didn't mean that they couldn't do other things. It just meant the holy place. They could not do this. There were other priestly duties during the week that they did, and it didn't say they couldn't do those. Just like you and I, even if we feel left out and we can't do one thing, yet there are things we can do.
I totally respect you as a pastor, Pastor Dave. You know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But this still hurts.
Mm.
And I'll tell you why. There's a passage we read in Exodus that, well, let me read it.
Please do.
Moses said to the Lord, "Pardon your servant, Lord. I have never been eloquent, neither in the past, nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue."
Yeah, we do think he stammered. Mm-hmm.
"The Lord said to him, 'Who gave human beings their mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and teach you what to say.'" Okay, and then we go back to Leviticus, and it clearly says he has a defect.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's our fault. If God made us blind and all that stuff, and then says, "Oh no, you can't approach my temple," and whatever, it really makes it seem like it's our fault.
Okay, approach the temple as a priest to offer the sacrifice. You have to be clear on why. It doesn't say that the people can't approach.
Watch it. You're stepping close to your own profession here.
Ah, and actually, that's a good point, because actually, my profession is not of the priesthood. It is of the prophetic office, the prophets. Jesus is the high priest. And have you noticed that none of the evangelical Lutheran churches call priests, but pastors? The key here, though, is we as Christians have the aspect of the priesthood finished as it goes to offering sacrifices to be made holy and acceptable to God. Jesus did that. So now what we do is proclaim the word of God. We are of that of a pastor. And therefore, this whole thing in Leviticus 21 has no application to any pastor, because that is to the priest. And it was completed by Jesus. And to the point of your concern with Exodus 4, yeah, God makes us who we are. Sometimes we don't like who we are.
No, we
that's
don't.
That's another whole discussion, but that doesn't have to do with Leviticus 21. Leviticus 21 talks about that specific priest, not just a priest, because he could eat of the food, he could do priestly things, but just not do the sacrifices in the temple, which only one could do at a time, not all of them. There was a casting of lots to see which one would do it that month, and then only that one would. So it's highly selective, highly selective. So it has to deal with the priest offering the sacrifices before God in the Holy of Holies, not that of all priesthood, nor of the priestly duties, nor of being a priest, for they could eat of the priestly food. And so we need to understand and make sure we are clear that this is a refinement, a narrowing down, which narrows all the way down to Jesus. It points to Jesus, not that of a prophet, but as a priest. You know, one of the reasons I don't like Leviticus, but
you were starting to like it.
I know, but it sets the whole sacrificial system, which we no longer are a part of. And you know why we are no longer a part of it? Because it was finished.
The temple was destroyed? Oh.
No, it was finished by Jesus. And now the New Testament speaks about his people in a different way than that of priesthood and coming to the temple. What are some of the pictures the New Testament uses for the church?
The bride of Christ?
Yeah, that's one of them. The bride. He's the groom and we're the bride. He's going to marry us. And any bride, thinking of it earthly, especially on that day, they do the makeup and they're beautiful mm-hmm. and charming. But if you talk to any lady who's been married for a while, they'll go, well, there's days I've been out in the garden and I've dug a hole or something, or I've had to clean up the dirty diaper, and I sure didn't look as pretty that day as I did on my wedding day. I mean, you could almost say not imperfections, but it's not as beautiful. And yet that doesn't change the fact that person is the bride. Yeah, and that's how Jesus is. And so even if we have a little bit of a not perfection, we're still his bride.
Oh,
yeah. What are some other pictures of the church in the New Testament?
The body of Christ, of course.
Yeah, the body. The hand can't say, this is in 1 Corinthians 12, the hand can't say to the foot.
I wish I was a foot.
Or the ear to the eye, I don't need you. They're different. They're different, completely different, have different works and aspects, and they all work together, all of them.
True.
And so when we think about that thought of not liking it and not wanting it and I'm being left out, that's the Old Testament picture focusing in to the Savior who's coming. Now we have a new picture of the church, the bride, the body. Can you think of any others?
Well, it does say in the New Testament that we are temples of the Holy Spirit.
Actually, we're the building being built up. 1 Peter chapter 2 talks about that. And not every single stone in that building is going to look the same.
They're not.
Going to be different stones. One above the door, the lintel. There's the ones that make the wall. There's different ones.
And the cornerstone, of course.
Cornerstone. Well, that's Jesus.
Well, yes,
the cornerstone. And from that, everything goes. But as you look around the windows and doorways and different aspects, maybe it has a turret on this. You'll have rounded stones.
Oh, yeah.
All sorts of different stones, but all are needed to be put together in order to make the building. And so we are different, and no one is excluded in the New Testament, but all are included. And I speak a lot more about this in a podcast, You're Not Alone, number 343. It's called Belonging, where we talk about exclusion and inclusion. Really, if you have any concerns or feel left out, listen to 343, Belonging.
343.
Now, I did catch, Cecilia, that you were really disappointed and felt outside because the priests were limited and you felt segmented.
Well, and, it wasn't and, just the priests. It was that certain people couldn't be priests. Yeah.
Couldn't be priests, couldn't do things. Well, this is what's so special about the New Testament. The Old Testament set things up, not that it's not complete in itself, but it set it up leading to Jesus. And I think this verse that we're going to read here will explain it really well. Now that we are in the new covenant with Jesus, it shows how even people with a disability, those who were excluded, those who had deformities or whatever you want to say, all that's gone. If you could read Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 25.
Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with sincere hearts, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching.
You see, it was opened up by Jesus. It's his blood. He was the high priest, the perfect one. And now we all can go into the Holy of Holies. And what's awesome about this, there were five, let us. And I love how you emphasize, let us draw near to God, hold firmly to the hope of that we have, consider how we can encourage one another.
Not give up meeting together.
And then again, encourage one another to do love and good deeds.
As we see the time of the coming of Jesus and the time when we will be with him in heaven approaching.
All of this because Jesus, our high priest, and the great sacrifice was completed for us on the cross.
I get it.
Now, I think I did say somewhere today or the last lesson that the sacrificial system is no longer used.
That's right.
Well, I boo-booed on that. It's changed. It's morphed. It's transformed because now we're in Jesus. When we were looking through Hebrews and comparing these verses with Leviticus, we stumbled across Hebrews 13, 15, and 16. And think of, as you read this, listeners, think of sacrifices.
Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others. For with such sacrifices, God is pleased.
Isn't it awesome how he transforms? We no longer have to offer a sacrifice for our sins, but we offer him one of thanks. And by doing good and sharing with others, these are the sacrifices, as you said, God is pleased.
God is pleased.
Sure is good that we have a different type of sacrifice. Jesus took care of our heavenly sacrifice, and we just can give him thanks and praise and do good. So are you going to do good and make those brownies for me now?
Don't you smell the chocolate?
Ah, it's such a savory smell. You know, really, that's what our good deeds and thanks and praise is like to God, a sweet smell of brownies. Well, if any of you would like to come over and have some of the brownies with us, you're welcome to.
We'll gladly
but otherwise,
share.
Why don't you write us? And you can do so at
info.
I-N-F-O.
At not dash alone.
N-O-T. And then that dash thing. A-L-O-N-E.
Dot.
Net.
N-E-T.
And remember,
we
are not
alone.
Do come back again to room 4216.
Credits. Our thanks go to Terry Nord and Robert Vaughn for their interlude music. And The Church's One Foundation, performed by Caleb Brazee.